The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive, shall become pregnant, and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Some years ago, I took a day off work and I traveled from the suburbs of Chicago downtown to the Chicago Art Institute. This was a tradition that I had with my best friend, Stacy. So we did all of the traditional things. We visited our favorite masterpieces, discovered a few new ones, and then we ate overpriced salads and drank wine on the rooftop of the Institute of Art, which was our tradition. And then, like most days off, it was over far too soon. It was time for me to get back on the train, back home. As we exited the contemporary and modern wing of the Art Institute, I saw something that at first I thought was probably a performance art installation. It was a van parked right there in front of the museum, and it said, "Who's your daddy? Mobile DNA tests offered here while you wait." Now, when my friend and I stopped laughing and realized that this actually was not a performance art installation, but actually was real, I tried to understand why a mobile DNA testing van would be parked just there. I tried to imagine the situation in which you just absolutely had to know who your daddy was after seeing modern art. Well, welcome to the last Sunday of Advent. Today is the day. After weeks of waiting, after lighting not four but six Advent candles and singing through almost the entire list of Advent hymns, here we are. Here we are, just 1 week away from celebrating the birth of the long-awaited baby Jesus. And perhaps this is exactly the moment when we might like a mobile DNA van. Because after all, before we sing Silent Night by candlelight, before we open the gifts, before we enter into this moment of celebration, we might want to know the identity of the one that we are celebrating. Is this really the one we've been waiting for? Is this the Messiah? Is this the Son of God? What child is this anyway? This was most certainly the question Joseph was asking when he learned that Mary was pregnant. They were engaged, but they weren't married. And furthermore, they had promised to be together, but they had also promised not to do anything that might result in pregnancy. As difficult as their situation could be today in our context, at that time, it really was a disaster. For this situation. But scripture tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, and therefore he had resolved to dismiss her quietly. he would separate from her in front of a few witnesses, thereby protecting at least as much of her honor as possible. And this could have been the end of Joseph's involvement in the Christmas story. But then something happened. It wasn't a mobile DNA van that arrived, but as usual, God was on the move. Just when Joseph thought he had it all figured out and knew what he would do next, a messenger of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Listen, Joe, I know this is not what you thought was going to happen. I know this isn't what you expected. I know this is going to make some people talk, but it's going to be fine. God is doing something here. This baby about to be born to Mary will be named Jesus because he will save people from their sins, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." And when Joseph awoke from that dream, he changed his course entirely. And it's not because things were necessarily clearer than before. In fact, he knew that telling folks that your fiance is pregnant by the Holy Spirit is probably not going to stop people from talking. But in great faith, Joseph trusted that message from the angel, trusted that that angel of the Lord was from a good and trustworthy God. Joseph then took Mary as his wife, cared for her until the baby was born, and when the baby was born, they named him Jesus. Now, at the beginning of this morning's gospel text, we heard these words: "The birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way." And in one way, it makes us seem like we've jumped ahead to Christmas, right? We've jumped past Advent. Aren't we supposed to still be in Advent? The birth of Jesus took place in this way. But actually, this message is not about Jesus and his miraculous birth. It's not even about who Jesus is. I think that this message for this day is about who Joseph is. Matthew invites us to consider how God called this person, Joseph, Joseph the righteous, to play a part in the birth of Jesus, the one we call Emmanuel. This is about how Joseph followed in faith, even though it made no sense at all at that time. When has God called you to do something strange or unexpected? And what did that call sound like? How did you know it was a call from God and not just an idea of your own? Most importantly, when you heard that call, why did you choose to listen? Joseph's dream may sound crazy or scary, but in times of discernment and struggle, I think that many of us would actually welcome an angel with such a clear message. In my experience, God doesn't always speak so clearly to me. More often, the message, the call from God comes bit by bit, or maybe it sneaks in through conversations with friends or those who love me, or sometimes complete strangers on the street. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where the call from God can no longer be ignored. The poet David White said, "For most of us, the call will not come so grandly, so biblically, but intimately in the face of the one you know you have to love." In retrospect, God may have been speaking to me when I was in fourth grade, and I signed up to volunteer at the local nursing home and ended up receiving the Volunteer of the Month Award at age 10. But I knew I wanted to be a doctor because I wanted to make a lot of money in life. God also may have been speaking to me when, as a college student studying piano performance, I would routinely show up to my lessons having not practiced at all because, you know, there was a Habitat for Humanity building project that weekend and I just had to go. and my piano teacher was not amused. But I knew I was going to be a musician. God may have been speaking when attending someone else's ordination to ministry, a church member grabbed me by the arm and said, "Carrie, when are you going to seminary?" And I said, "I don't have any intention of doing that. I want to be a midwife." Mm-hmm. And then I found myself at the birth of a baby, and I was there as the support person, as a doula. I was there to advocate for the mother of this child about to be born, but I was very annoyed because I wanted to be the midwife, and I had been trying to get an internship with a local midwife, and every time I would interview, they would say, "Carrie, we really like you, but we just don't feel it." And so there I was at this birth, there to offer support, and as I coached the mother through labor, the whole time I was longingly looking at the midwife who was doing what I wanted to do. And then things went all wrong. As the baby was being born, the mother started to bleed and she didn't stop, and everything became an emergency, and the doctors rushed in, and I watched as they saved her life, and I knew in that moment without a doubt that that was not what I was called to do. But I knew what I was called to do. And so I leaned down by her ear and I prayed and I held her hand. And the next day, really, the next day, I sent an email to my home pastor and said, "Tell me how to apply to seminary." And then I listed all of my childbirth books and supplies on eBay. And I didn't know how it would work out. It was a crazy idea. I and my little family lived in rural Texas, far from any seminary. We didn't have any money for school. I didn't have any way that I knew that this would work, but I had faith that the God who spoke so clearly to me in that moment would carry me through the next steps. And so I took the next right step. Joseph had no idea what was going to happen when he woke up from that dream. He did know that he was about to take a risk. He had a pretty good idea of what the community was going to say about him and this relationship. But Joseph also knew that something wonderful had been promised. And like Mary, who in great faith chose to sing God's praise in the midst of a crisis pregnancy, in great faith, Joseph also chose to take a step in the direction that God was leading. He chose to follow and therefore became a small, one would say, but actually quite critical part of the story of the world's salvation. And so on this last Sunday of Advent, as we prepare to make those first and maybe last steps to Bethlehem, where the babe is about to be born, we rejoice that both Joseph and Mary responded to God's call. We rejoice that God chooses to come among us as a baby, the one we call God with us. We rejoice that God speaks to us still today. God did not just speak one time, but continues to speak through dreams, through call, through music, through art, through life, through those who love us, through those we are called to love. God invites us still today to follow in faith. And like Joseph, we are empowered to take those steps. We don't need a DNA test to know the identity of the one who leads us. We know this one. This is the one who fulfilled the promise to be born among us, the one whose love has been poured out for us on the cross, the one whose power over sin and death was revealed through the empty tomb. This is the one who will fulfill all the promises every step of the way, even to the end of the age. Let us pray. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ. Amen.